Any other comments specifically relevant to radiation oncologists? Any new developments in lung cancer that you think are particularly relevant to radiation oncologists? Any suggestions for improvement based on interactions, things you don't like they do, if there's any?
Well, I think most of them have learned their lessons, as have the medical oncologists, that you don't tackle any of these patients without a multidisciplinary tumor board. Anybody who's going to be even considered for combined modality, you've got to sit down a priori with the medical oncologist, with the surgeons, if you think there's any potential role for surgery, and frankly, with the pulmonologist. We have interventional pulmonologists at our institution are critical to making sure these patients get through their treatment. And that sort of multidisciplinary approach is super critical. Everett Vokes has said this, and I will reiterate it, the best form of radiation in locally advanced disease is chemo radiation. Combined modality therapy is still the standard. And now, of course, we have the prospect of trimodality, if we consider checkpoint inhibitors yet another modality. I think we've got to be sensitized to the notion of continued close surveillance after the chemo radiation and make sure horrible side effects aren't occurring, particularly pneumonitis. So far, the clinical trials say the rates aren't very high. Personally, my experience with pneumonitis is a little bit higher than I've seen objectively in the clinical trials. And again, I'm probably treating a broader population, some of whom might not have been candidates for those trials. And then finally, I think we have to abandon this notion that more is better. Certainly the RTOG-0617 showed with conventional radiation that 74 gray not only was no better than 60 gray, it was worse. We had higher toxicities and lower survival. So we've got to be very careful and deliberative about how the radiation is given. And it really does require a major therapeutic alliance with the other modalities and, of course, with their physicists. And I think for the most part, radiation oncologists who are used to treating locally advanced non-small cell have all this down pat, but those lessons need to keep going.
You mentioned that trial looking at higher dose. I actually asked Dr. Rimner about it because I hadn't heard about it lately. And I was asking him, I'll ask you, if you have any hypotheses about why patients did worse with higher dose. Did they have more toxicity or was it something else?
Some more toxicity. I think the V5 with the level of radiation that went to the heart was higher, and there may have been some delayed cardiopulmonary toxicities that may or may not have been attributed to the combined modality. And there were also some inadvertent imbalances in the baseline demographics of the study that actually favored the lower dose arm. But the bottom line is just an empiric escalation in the dose does not benefit patients. It seems to cause more mayhem than benefit. But a full analysis still needs to be done. I think one of the other theories was that perhaps they had a rougher time getting all the chemo in, although I'm not sure that's panned out.
Anything else you want to add to what you said today?
Just it's imperative we get folks on clinical trials, and the checkpoint inhibitors are here to stay. I still want to see an analysis based on PET imaging. I've yet to see that. And importantly, in this regard, with the PACIFIC trial, we need to see the patterns of recurrence. We've seen the sites, but if there's a lung recurrence, is that happening in field? Is it regional? Is it out of the field? I don't have any sense of that, and I think that may help determine how we go forward with future treatments.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for this special audio program on lingering controversies and emerging therapeutic strategies for patients with locally advanced non-small cell lung cancer.